earlier in our children's sermon, we were in John chapter 1. Let's go back there now, and I'll read verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Let us pray. Father, who has made yourself known through your Son, we thank you. Help us to know more of you by knowing more of your Son here now in the preaching of the Word. And enable me by your Spirit to faithfully testify to the light that has come through Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Christmas can be an exciting and energetic and uplifting time for people of all ages, but there's something about children that makes their response to the season even more energetic. Certainly part of it is the anticipation of getting Christmas presents, those from the family or maybe the ones that Santa left. Some of that enthusiasm starts to wane after Christmas. I was hoping that some of it might still be there this past Wednesday when I gathered with the children in our daycare ministry for our weekly worship. But when the three-year-olds arrived, energy was low. They were slumping in the pews. That was until I asked them to tell me one thing that you got for Christmas. And eyes grew wide, hands shot up in the air, and then came a litany of all sorts of games and toys and devices, everything from fire trucks to unicorn dolls. So I decided that I would wrap it all up by telling them that I got a new pair of blue jeans. They didn't seem real thrilled or excited about that, weren't too impressed by that. Glenn Campbell sang, "Christmas is for children, just for children, grown-ups say. Santa's found the chimney, that's for children, like the reindeer and the sleigh. That same tale is told every Christmas Eve again. We may think we're old, but our hearts can almost believe again. Christmas is for children, but aren't we all children Christmas Day? Now, maybe so, you may say, but December 25th has come and gone now, and we who may have even been children at heart for that day have returned to being adults in all kinds of ways. And yet when we listen to today's scripture passage from John, it still wants to talk about Christmas and children. Christmas, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. This Word became flesh and made his dwelling, pitched his tent among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, a lot of ink has been spilled by a lot of people trying to interpret and explain exactly what John means by calling Jesus the Word. Essentially, it has to do with how Jesus is God's revelation of himself to us, God's self-expression, God's making himself known to us. And now in Jesus, that Word has become flesh. In other words, the Word doesn't stay outside of time and history, but enters this time-bound world in which we live, in our existence, in human form. The Gospel of John, like I mentioned earlier, doesn't open with Joseph and Mary at the manger, or the shepherds in the field, or the wise men on their way to Jerusalem, but it's just as much about the truth of Christmas, namely God coming into the world for our salvation. And God's purpose for showing up and being available in the form of Jesus is to open the way for a new relationship with us and our relationship with God. Those who believe by accepting God's revelation of himself in Jesus become new people, enter into a new life with God. And one of John's primary ways of talking about this new life is through the language of children and family. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So Christmas, in the deepest theological sense, really is about children. Not simply children as very young human beings who are more enthusiastic around Christmas time or who are excited about what Santa may have left under the tree, but more importantly, children as individuals of various ages, like you can see around you here today, who accept this revelation of God in Jesus Christ and believe in him and experience the life and the light that this Word from God offers. John describes these kind of children as, quote, born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Born of God. In other words, the things within that culture that normally would have determined status as a child of God, a husband's decision in that historical context, or natural sexual desire or natural descent. These kinds of things have no avail in this particular case because the birth that matters most is the birth that comes from above. And somehow that leaves race or ethnicity or heritage irrelevant. What matters is the birth from above most of all. Now, we encounter this birth language again, don't we, in a couple of chapters when Jesus engages Nicodemus in a conversation about being born from above or born again. By telling us this story of Jesus and Nicodemus, John wants us to understand that personal change is important, but what is also important is where this change comes from. The Greek word, often translated as again or anew, born again. Born anew has a double sense. It can also mean born from above. Born from above. In other words, new birth is important, but equally important is where does that birth come from? Where is it generated? It's generated not by you, but from beyond you. The transformation isn't something that you do. It's something that God does. So when it comes to being a child of God and experiencing eternal life, that means being brought into existence as someone completely new by God and the power of God. Similar to what we saw in our worship video, our missions moment, about this young man who had experienced, as he described it, new birth through Christ. Earlier this week, I was walking down the hallway here when one of the children in our daycare ministry called me aside and announced to me, "I came here as a baby." And knowing that our center doesn't provide infant care, I probed a little further and discovered that she was actually talking about how she got into this world in the first place. "I came here as a baby." And then she proceeded to describe that further in words and with a visual demonstration of how she was jumping around in her mommy's tummy before she came here. "I came here as a baby." Now, that's true of all of us, not just in a physical, biological sense, but in a spiritual sense as well. Becoming a child of God, we hear in our scripture today, becoming a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ requires God bringing you into existence, bringing you forth from the womb, in a sense, and into the life of the family of God, the community of God's people. And that's not a smooth, clean, pain-free process, is it? Birth never is. Birth is always hard and messy. In our modern setting, we may not think about that as much, especially since most births nowadays take place in hospitals, away from a wider population or others. But as one person has pointed out, in biblical times, things were different. She says, in the ancient world, birth was an experience that impacted everybody. It happened inside homes that made the noise and the struggle more public. Neighbors heard it. Birth, in all of its loud messiness, was a family affair and even a community event. I wonder about others nearby who may have heard Mary when she was giving birth to Jesus. If you still have some Christmas cards you received lying around the house, take a close look at some of them and notice again how they depict Mary. She usually looks pretty refreshed, doesn't she? And serene and strong. If it weren't for the baby Jesus lying there in the manger, you might not know that she is someone who's just been through the process of giving birth, the birthing process, because our Christmas items often give us a more sanitized version or portrayal of the arrival of the Savior. We lose sight, in many cases, of the struggle and the labor and the pain and the blood and the messiness and the hard circumstances of how God came into the world to redeem us. And I think as with birth, so with rebirth too, right? It's hard. It's messy. We shouldn't expect our new life in Christ to be instantaneous or painless. On the contrary, becoming a child of God involves continual struggle and work and labor, in a sense, making that journey from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity is hard and tough and difficult. Coming to faith in Christ, which we often rightfully speak about, that's one thing. Coming to faith in Jesus, growing up in Christ, that's something as well, and maturing in the Son. One of the characters who usually shows up, if you think back again to Christmas time, is Peter Pan. And Peter Pan is the epitome of that phrase, "I'll never grow up." And he never does. At one point in a film version of the story, Wendy, who has fallen in love with Peter, tries to confront him about his his pursuit of play, his refusal to grow up and take on more adult kinds of things in his life. And as Tinkerbell and Captain Hook listen in on the dialogue, this is what Wendy says. She says, "Peter, what are your real feelings?" "Feelings?" he asks. "What do you feel?" she asks. "Happiness? Sadness? Jealousy? Anger? Love?" "Love? I've never heard of it," he says. "I think you have, Peter," she says. "I dare say you felt it yourself for something or someone." "Never," he says. "Even the sound of it offends me." So when Wendy reaches for Peter in a loving gesture, he suddenly runs away, shouting, "Why do you spoil everything? We have fun, don't we? I taught you to fight and to fly. What more could there be than to fight and to fly?" "There's so much more," she answers. "What? What else is there?" "I don't know," she says. "I think it becomes clearer when you grow up." "Well, I will not grow up. You cannot make me. Go home and grow up and take your feelings with you." You see, Peter Pan resists the kinds of emotions and responsibilities and duties and requirements that come with becoming adult, growing up. Instead, Peter's committed to the fun and the playfulness, the imagination, all these kinds of things that come with childhood. And that's partly just a reflection of the land from which he has come. Do you remember the name of it? Never Never Land. In a song named after that place, he sings, "You'll have a treasure if you stay there, more precious far than gold. For once you've found your way there, you can never, never grow old." But growing older, growing up, these are two as well. Part of what it means to be a child of God, a child born of God, born into the life of the family of God, the church. The church isn't some never, never land where we can all get born again and then just stay in eternal childhood. That's not God's purpose. The born again part is critical, but this community called the church is a community where new birth leads into new life. And new life requires growing into the commitments and the responsibilities and the things that come with being an adult in Christ, not just born initially in Christ. I like the way that preacher Fleming Rutledge puts it when she says, "Maturing as a Christian means making sacrifices, delaying gratification, setting the needs of others ahead of one's own, pursuing distant goals instead of temptations ready at hand." And if you and I are going to do those kinds of things in our lives as children of God, then we need the church. We need this community of believers where we can be birthed and nourished and taught and trained and corrected and disciplined, transformed, shaped, and loved into Christian adulthood. That's a big part of what the church is given to us for. So it's true. In one respect, if you're a believer, you're a Christmas baby. God sent his son into the world so the way could be opened up for you to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ, to be, in that sense, a Christmas baby. But that requires not only birth from above, but also growth from above, because Christmas really isn't just about children. Christmas is also about adults and becoming adults in Christ as we grow up in him. Christmas, its ultimate aim is about spiritual development that leads to maturity in Christ. Remember that this passage we've got here in John is where? Chapter 1. This is just a start of a whole story that's going to unfold about Jesus' life and ministry and his death and his resurrection, and where at the end of John's gospel, there in the resurrection, our risen Lord certifies our identity by telling Mary Magdalene to go to my brothers, he says, his Jesus' brothers. Go to my brothers, those disciples, and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. These brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, children, sons and daughters of God, born and grown in Christ. I want you to think back to last Sunday's service when we spent time reflecting on and sharing about God's faithfulness during the year that has concluded. We were looking back last week, so today maybe, though we won't have the testimony time, since we're 2 weeks into this new year, it does give us a good opportunity to consider the way going forward and what's ahead, and ways that you want to continue to grow up in Christ, in being a child of God. So consider today kinds of things like asking the Father, ask God the Father to help you see areas of your life where you need to make progress in faith. Seek the Father about that. Seek the Son. Search yourself to see parts of your life where you may be struggling to try to get out of spiritual infancy in some way or another and start to mature more in that particular aspect of your relationship with God. Pray. Pray for the light of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit to see those spots in your life and your relationship with God, your witness and your experience, where you need to mature and grow up even more in the new life that's been opened up to you through Jesus the Son. Christmas, yes, it's for children. It's for being born again and being a child of God. But Christmas is also for adults, for growing up in the Son, maturing as a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you again for what love you have lavished on us, that we should be called your children and have the opportunity to be born anew and be part of your family. We praise you and thank you for what you've done through the Son to make that possible for us. We pray for ourselves that we will continue to grow up as your children, and that on this day, the days and weeks ahead of this year, that we will mature more and more in the new life you've given us through your Son. We pray now for one another, for those who are here who don't know you, who need to know you through new birth in the Son, and those of us who know you, that we will continue to grow as children, your children, in your family. We pray in the name of your Son. Amen.